الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. Respected listeners, the ayat kareema which I have just recited before you are the opening verses of Surah An-Nur, that is the chapter of light. The surah was revealed in Medina Munawwara, consisting of 64 verses and 9 rukus. The surah greatly deals with the laws and the ahkam pertaining to veil, that is parda, and to woman. That is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote to the people of Kufa, addressing them, he mentions, عَلِّمُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ سُورَةَ النُّورِ, that educate your woman with the chapter of Surah Nur. That is why I took the opportunity in this holy month of Ramadan to, may Allah ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to benefit maximally from this chapter. And it is through this medium that Allah has given us of the radio, inshallah, we hope that Allah ta'ala give us the correct ability and the strength to put across maximum what Allah ta'ala has mentioned in this chapter to all our sisters and our brothers. And Allah give us the ability of implementing not only the injunctions of this particular chapter, but the injunctions of the entire Quran and the noble teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commences this chapter in a very unusual way. Allah ta'ala mentions, سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها. This is a chapter. Every surah is a surah, but Allah uses the word, the literal word Allah Ta'ala uses, سورة. This is a chapter. أنزلناها, which we have revealed. وفرضناها, and the laws that are discussed in this chapter, we have made compulsory. In other words, at the very onset, at the very beginning, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to draw in our minds the attention and the importance of the orders of Almighty Allah and the fact that this is divine. So whatever is going to follow in the various form of ahkam and laws, we must understand that this is coming from Allah Ta'ala, which will enable us to surrender and submit to these injunctions and these orders of Almighty Allah. So Allah says, Suratun, this is a chapter, Anzalnaha, which we have revealed. The words also, and of course the meaning also, and the commentary. Wafaradnaha, and whatever we have discussed in this chapter, we have made it compulsory. وَأَنْزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And we have revealed in this chapter clear-cut signs. We have discussed many things and great clear signs on the oneness of Almighty Allah and the beauty of Islam, the status of woman, and the various ahkam that Islam has discussed in this chapter. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So that you can remember, so that you can ponder, so that you can contemplate, so that you can come closer to Almighty Allah and you can be acquainted with the beauty of Islam. Many a times we find today a person judges Islam with his very limited knowledge. If a person comes to South Africa and he stays in South Africa for 1 week and he hardly travels, and then he goes back to his country and he gives an incorrect picture of South Africa, then it will be wrong for those people who will accept his verdict on South Africa and judge South Africa according to his limited understanding that his stay in South Africa was for 1 week only. Today our knowledge regarding deen is very limited. Our knowledge regarding the Quran is very limited. So really speaking, how can we explain to someone the beauty of Islam? We hope inshallah through the barakat of the tafsir of these lessons of the Quran Kareem, our knowledge regarding Islam will increase and we will have a better understanding of what Almighty Allah discusses, not only in this chapter but in all the other chapters of the Quran as well. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after giving a brief introduction regarding the importance of this chapter, Allah goes directly to the laws and the ahkam that he is discussing in this chapter. Allah mentions, الزانيه والزاني فجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة. That man and that woman who were found guilty of the evil act of zina and fornication, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا 100 جَلْدَ, then lash both of them, that is the male and female, 100 lashes. Whip both of them 100 lashes. That is the Islamic ruling. Now, if we study, zina is something that has been totally prohibited by Islam to such an extent that not only the evil act of fornication, but Allah Ta'ala has also prohibited us to Allah Ta'ala has also made it compulsory upon us to abstain from those things which will pave the way of zina. For example, looking at the opposite sex. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on that person who looks, that male who looks at a female, or that female who looks at a male, a strange male and a strange female, of course. And likewise, Allah's curse is on that male who promotes himself so that females, so that strange woman can look at him. And Allah's curse is on that woman who promotes herself so that strange men can look at her. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Zina is such an evil act, and it is so disliked by Almighty Allah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a believer is not in the state of iman when he commits zina. In other words, for that period of time, the ulama have written that his iman leaves him and forms an umbrella over him. And after committing the zina, if he once again makes tawbah, then this iman returns to him. So indeed, this is a very evil act. And besides the disobedience of Almighty Allah, it invites many other evils and many other vices. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ قَوْمٍ يَظَهَرُ فِيهِمُ الزِّنَا إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسَّنَةِ. That nation in which zina and fornication will become prevalent, Allah Ta'ala will afflict a drought upon them. That nation in which immorality will become common, it's the words of Ibn Majah in the first hadith is in Mishkat second volume on the authority of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَضَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا. Such illnesses, such diseases, such calamities will come on them that the thought of that will not even cross the hearts and the minds of the people that came prior to them. The intelligence of their doctors will be snatched away in searching for cure, because this disease will not be linked to any physical source apart from zina. This will be a divine calamity and azab from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, do not come close to zina. Do not look at the woman. Do not talk to her. Do not give rise to those things which will pave the way for zina. We find in that nation or that locality in which zina will become common, then the lineage of the children will not be protected, which is the honor and which is the pride of insan, which Allah mentions in the 26th juz of the Quran. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Through nikah, we have protected our lineage, and the child knows what is the name of his father, his grandfather, the tribe and the progeny that he belongs to, where he was born, where his roots originate from. But if zina will become common, then there will be so many children that will have absolutely no lineage, which will then become a common factor between the animal kingdom and insan. And what will be the difference between insan and the animal kingdom? So indeed, this is something that is totally forbidden and disliked by Almighty Allah. And zina is such a thing that the prohibition of this came gradually from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The initial stages, the first penalty that was highlighted in the Quran regarding zina, Allah mentions, وَاللَّاتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِن نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Those two people, that is male and female, that were found in the evil act of zina, like Allah discusses after that again, وَالَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ فَآذُوهُمَا. If they are found in the evil act of zina, then Allah Ta'ala says, keep them indoors. Keep that woman indoor. Keep her locked in the house. That was the very first punishment and the first penalty that Islam had prescribed for a woman that was found in zina. For what period of time? Hatta yatawaffahunna al-mawtu, until death overtakes her. In other words, when she was found guilty of the evil act of zina with substantial proof, then she would be kept indoors till she leaves this dunya, أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا, or until Allah Ta'ala decides something else regarding her. And what does Allah Ta'ala mention regarding the men? فَآذُوهُمَا. Then put some taklif on them, some difficulty on them, without specifying what type of problem or what type of difficulty. Now, in the later years, when this chapter was revealed, when Surah Nur was revealed, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to his sahaba, خذوا عني خذوا عني او my sahaba come and take from me, listen to what I have to tell you. And like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu has mentioned, the promise that Allah had made in Surah Nisa, that keep that woman indoors until Allah Ta'ala makes an opening and Allah reveals another hukam. Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled the promise of giving another hukam in the 18th juz of the Quran in Surah Nur, which we are discussing, and we will explain what was the second law that Allah Ta'ala has revealed regarding that woman and that person who were found guilty of the evil act of zina. What was now the law that came down? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, qad ja'ala Allahu lahunna sabila. Allah Ta'ala has explained a way out for these people. Al bikru bil bikri jildu mi'atin wa taghribu 'ammin wa tayyibu bil tayyibi jildu mi'atin wal rajm. That bachelor, in other words a person that wasn't married, was found guilty of the evil act of zina with a woman that was not married, a spinster, then the punishment and the penalty will be jildu mi'atin, that will be 100 lashes, wa taghribu 'ammin, and exile for 1 year. We will highlight that aspect regarding the exile. The fuqaha have different opinions, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah also holds a different view and a verdict regarding that. Regarding the 100 lashes, this is what exactly the ayat al-karima which I recited before you. Now the word jildun itself means leather. The ulama have written that in those times the lash was generally made out of leather. Or another wajh tasmiya to this is that jildun means skin. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person lashing should not lash so hard that it penetrates through the meat, and he should not hit so lightly that it doesn't serve as a penalty. Instead, he should hit with a moderate pace that the person can feel the pain also, and it shouldn't cause too much taklif and pain and harm to the person. And of course accommodating the order of Almighty Allah and making him aware of the consequences of the violation of the order of Almighty Allah. So this ayat al-kareema was revealed, and this order that is of 100 lashes, it pertains to that bachelor who had the evil act of zina with a spinster, that is unmarried male and female. In the event of a muhsan, muhsan is that person who had a nikah, performed a sahih nikah in the presence of two witnesses, and he's an aqil person, he's an intelligent person, and he had the opportunity of meeting with his partner in seclusion. After a sahih nikah and then meeting with the partner in seclusion, after that if a person commits zina, then the Islamic ruling to that particular person is that such a person will be pelted to death. So the difference is that if a person was not married and he committed zina, it will be 100 lashes. And of course the penalty, it is just but correct that the penalty has to be more severe for a person that Allah Ta'ala has given him a wife and Allah has given him a woman through halal nikah, and he can't satisfy his desire through the partner that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Then too he leaves this partner that Allah has given him, and then he does the evil act of zina with a strange woman. His penalty will be that he will be pelted to death. We will inshallah explain these very two differences in the light of the incidents that transpired in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Hazrat Ma'idha Aslami radiyallahu anhu and Imra'atul Ghamadiyya. That of course Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in wa insan. And it is the mercy of Almighty Allah that practically he completed Islam and he perfected Islam and he showed everything to us. So in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this woman had committed zina, and she comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point that I want to highlight here is that it is insan, and we can error and we can make a mistake. But look at the Sahaba Ikram. When this act had happened and this evil was committed, then look at the restlessness that it brought into them. She comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, inni zanaytu fa aqim alayya al-hadda. I have committed zina. So according to the Islamic ruling, I want you to pelt me, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came as a mercy unto mankind, said no. That how can we oppress that child, that masoom child, that fetus that is in the womb of this woman? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after you deliver and you give birth to your child, then you must come back. When this woman look at her iman, she rather tolerate the disgrace in this world than the disgrace in the day of Qiyamah. She rather be embarrassed in front of thousands of the people at that time in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than billions on the day of Qiyamah. She rather clear her account in this world than on the day of Qiyamah. After she delivers that child, we know the love that the mother has for the child. It is unique and no one can understand and comprehend. In fact, Allah Ta'ala has also given the similitude of his love with the love of the mother that she has for her child, because this is a unique love that Allah Ta'ala has placed in the heart of the mother for that child. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells this woman that after this child, now this child is drinking milk, after this child begins eating solids. Look at the mercy of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accommodating the order of Allah also, and looking at the relevant situation of this woman, and look at the restlessness of this woman, that her bechaini, that this crime is on her, she rather settle it in this dunya. By the way, let me mention one point here is, that there are four types of hudud. Hudud means wherein the penalty has been discussed and has been decided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One is when a person commits zina, that is the punishment which we are discussing. Number two, when a person steals, which Allah Pak mentions in the sixth juz of the Quran. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That male and that female, when they steal, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, an item which is worth more than 10 dirhams, the hands will be cut off, the right hand, etc., with great detail as explained to us by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, when a person consumes liquor and it is confirmed that he has taken liquor, then again there is a had where he will be whooped and he will be punished. And if a person had their tuhmat, when a person accuses someone of zina and he doesn't have substantial proof to prove that person is guilty of that act of zina, then this person for accusing this particular person of zina will also be lashed 80 lashes. So these are four hudud regarding which the penalty has been decided by Almighty Allah. Apart from that, in other vices and that, it is what we refer to as ta'zirat, where the mufti or the qazi, whatever he will find munasib and suitable, he will decide. For example, perhaps he will just reprimand him, perhaps he will put him in jail for a few days, according to the need and according to the situation. This will be left entirely according and up to the mufti to decide, or according to the qazi, which will also be restricted to the bounds of Shariat, of course. Now, there's something to discuss here is al-hududu kaffaratun amla. That if a person committed zina and he is pelted or he is lipped or he is lashed and he is whipped according to the Islamic ruling, will this penalty and this punishment that is given to him in the dunya, will this suffice for him in the akhirat, or is this punishment only the punishment of the dunya? If a person was caught stealing and his hands are cut off, now the cutting of his hands, will this pardon his sin in the akhirat as well, or will this only suffice for the penalty in the dunya? According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, repentance is of paramount importance. So if a person was caught stealing and his hands are cut off, but he doesn't repent to Allah, then the crime and the punishment of the akhirat will be separate. Yes, if his hands are cut off and he repents to Almighty Allah, then we hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah that he will be protected from the punishment of the akhirat as well. Some ulama and some fuqaha are of the opinion, like Imam Shafi rahimahumullah, that when his hands are cut off, then the mere fact that his hands have been cut, this will suffice as the punishment in this dunya and in akhirat. And this itself will be a form of tawbah and repentance. Wallahu a'lamu bis-sawab. I was mentioning the incident of that woman, Imra'atul Ghamidiyya. When she comes back to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then commands the Sahaba to pelt her, and in the process, she passes away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then commands the Sahaba to give ghusl, and then he says Allahu Akbar, and he's about to perform the janaza namaz, when Sayyidina Umar taps him on his shoulder and says, Ya Rasulallah, tusalli alayha wa qad zanat. Are you going to perform the janaza namaz of a woman that has committed zina and adultery? My respected listeners, let us pause and understand what was the answer given by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Umar, لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِمَتْ بَيْنَ سَبِعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ. Allah's Qasam, this woman has made such tawbah in the court of Allah, and it is so readily accepted by Allah, that on the tawbah of this one woman, wallah, 70 people's maghfirat can be made. She hasn't only had her sins forgiven, but she had elevated herself through this tawbah, that on her tawbah, 70 people's maghfirat can be made. So we are sinning, and we are all committing sins. But after the sins, we can make such a tawbah that it can actually uplift our standard and our maqam and our martaba in the eyes of Almighty Allah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with relevance to the very same occasion and to the very same ayah, he was sitting on the minbar of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he came into a josh and he mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بَعْثَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَكَانَ مِمَّا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ آيَةَ الرَّجْمِ قَرَأْنَاهَا وَعَيَّنَّاهَا وَعَقَلْنَاهَا فَرَجَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَرَجَمْنَا بَعْدَهُ. He says that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and Allah Ta'ala had sent him with the complete religion. And Allah Ta'ala revealed on him the divine scripture that is the Quran. And in this Quran Allah revealed many ahkam and many laws. And among the many laws were the ayat of Rajam, that is that person who was found guilty of the evil act of zina and fornication will be pelted to death. That is, if he is muhsan, as I elaborated, his nikah was performed in the presence of two witnesses. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, فَأَخْشَى إِن طَالَ بِالنَّاسِ زَمَانٌ I fear it mustn't happen that by the passing of time someone must come in this dunya أَن يَقُولَ قَائِلٌ and he must say مَا نَجِدُ الرَّجْمَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ We have read the Quran cover to cover but we cannot find any ayat in the entire Quran confirming the fact that that person that is found, that adulterer will be pelted to death. I fear that it mustn't happen that by the passing of time people negate this order of Allah. فَيَظِلُّوا أَلَّا اسْكَسَمْ They will go astray. بِتَرْكِ فَرِيضَةٍ أَنزَلَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى By neglecting one order which Allah has decided and Allah Pak has mentioned in the Quran. And in one riwayat of Nasa'i it comes that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, Inna la najidu min al-rajmi buddan. There is no escape from this order of Almighty Allah. There is no way we can come out, abstain from zina. If you will commit the evil act of zina and it is confirmed with substantial proof and gawah, then rest assured we are going to exercise this order of Almighty Allah. Fa innahu haddun min hududillah. Allah's qasam, this is one had from the hudud of Almighty Allah. Qad rajama Rasulullah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pelted in his zamana. That adulterer and that adulteress who was found guilty of this act of zina, وَرَجَمْنَا بَعْدَهُ And this is an act that was found in the khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and this will remain in my zamana, and wallah it will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Then he comes into Josh and he says, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَقُولَ قَائِلُونَ أَنَّ عُمَرَ زَادَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ لَكَتَبْتُ فِي نَاحِيَةِ الْمُصْحَفِ Wallah, if it wasn't out of the fear that people will say that Umar is adding in the book of Almighty Allah, I would have written next to this ayat in the Quran Kareem all the ahadith and all the episodes and the incidents confirming this very same fact, that is Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pelted that muhsan, that adulterer and that adulteress, so that people must know this is a thing that is confirmed by Allah, this is a penalty that is decided by Allah, no person can put his finger in it and no person has any opportunity to interfere with this order of Almighty Allah. But if I will add this in the book of Allah, I fear people will say I am adding on the book of Allah. And I testify, وَشَهِدَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ بْنُ عَوْفٍ وَفُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجَمَ وَرَجَمْنَا بَعْدَهُ Allah's Qasam, I testify that it is a reality. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is with me and all the eminent Sahaba, the galaxy of 124,000 Sahaba, sanctioned this verdict of minds, which is not a verdict of minds, but it is a divine decision of Allah, which was confirmed by the noble teachings and the practices of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a reality which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses in the Quran. Now if we find something very unusual in this ayat al-kareemah, if we study in the other places of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe. And in that Allah ta'ala refers to the males and the females. But here on this instance, Allah ta'ala did not make iktifa on Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, but instead Allah discusses the woman separately and Allah discusses the man separately. So this is one astonishing factor. And number two, something more astonishing. When it comes to the aspect of stealing, then Allah says, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقَطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا That male that steals and that female that steals. Allah ta'ala commences with the crime of a male. But when it comes to the act of zina, then Allah commences with the crime of a woman. الزَّانِيَةُ That adulteress first. Whereas in the other ayat-i-kareemah, the woman comes zimnan with the men. Ya Allah ta'ala discusses the woman. And Allah ta'ala discusses the woman before the men also. The commentators have highlighted many reasons for this. I will discuss and highlight only one. That is that Allah ta'ala has placed great amount of sharam and haya and modesty in a woman. And it will be totally incorrect on behalf of a woman who comes in this dunya with haya and modesty, that if she will take the courage of disobeying Allah and losing and breaking all the boundaries of haya and modesty, not by looking at a man or speaking to a man, but actually sharing the bed with a strange man, this will be totally incorrect. Of course, it will be incorrect on behalf of the man as well. But that woman, that she has so much haya, that when we read Abwabun Nikah in the books of Hadith, that girl who is asked regarding one proposal that has come to her, and if she is asked that, are you happy with this proposal? And if she only smiles and she remains silent, as sukutu yadullu ala al-ijab, then her silence in her smile is an indication of approval. Why? Because the hadith explains to us, she is full of haya and modesty. Perhaps she cannot take the courage of saying, yes, I want to get married. So she observes silence. وَإِذْنُهَا سُمَاتُ وَسُمَاتُهَا إِذْنُهَا. Her silence will be her permission. So that woman whose nikah was confirmed with her silence, because of her modesty, she could not break the ice and she could not utter it verbally that, yes, I love this person or I am ready to give my life in his nikah. That woman who came with so much haya, she has now taken the courage of breaking all the boundaries of haya and she went to the extent of actually sharing the bed with a strange person. So Allah Ta'ala commences this ayat by saying, الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَةٍ. Allah says, give them 100 lashes, as I explain who this refers to. And what does Almighty Allah mention? When you are lashing them and you are carrying out this order of Almighty Allah, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That while you are punishing them and you are carrying out the order of Almighty Allah, let not pity overtake you and do not be kind to them by relieving them of this particular penalty or by exempting them of this particular penalty. Because by you being kind to them, wallah, you are oppressing the entire creation. To accommodate the pleasure of these people and to be kind and to be loyal to them, you are giving rise to this vice. And if you will overlook it, then this evil act will become common in society. And by doing so, you will be opening the doors for people to attack the izzat of our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, our aunties. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you fear Almighty Allah, then when you are punishing them and you are pelting them, not to prove, like one person was being pelted, and one sahabi said, Akhzaak Allah, may Allah disgrace you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh my sahabi, control your tongue. Allah Ta'ala has not told us to criticize this person. We are pelting him or her, not because we hate him, because we love Allah, we are doing this. One sahabi was caught stealing. He came before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His hands were being cut. My Nabi started crying. One sahabi tapped him on his shoulder. O Nabi of Allah, you brought the Quran to us. You are telling us that we must cut the man's hands. Now when we are cutting his hands, you are crying. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Subhanallah, what does he say? Oh my sahabi, being my ummati, if I am not going to cry, who will cry? Yes, the order of Allah will prevail, but because it is happening to my ummati, if I will not feel the pain and the agony, who is going to feel the pain and the agony? So we will not criticize him, we will not criticize her, we will not express our hatred for them. We will establish the order of Almighty Allah. And Allah says, if iman is in your heart, then that iman should demand from you that you do not delay the order of Almighty Allah, you do not become lenient in the order of Allah. And if you are becoming lenient in the order of Allah, then in kuntum tu'minuna billah, that means that there is a deficiency in your iman. Because if you are bringing iman in Allah, then that same Allah demands you must lash him or you must pelt him according to the difference as it was elaborated earlier on. What does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mention? Something very unusual again. وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We find when it comes to other sins and other evil and other vice, we are taught to conceal and hide the faults of our Muslim brothers. But in this instance, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Almighty Allah mentions in the Quran that while they are being pelted and while they are being given 100 lashes, one group of the Muslim ummah must come and witness this. This mustn't be done in hidden, it mustn't be done in low profile, it must be done when the venue is decided and the time is decided, then it must be announced and the people must come and see the consequences of the violation of the order of Allah. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا وَمَا خَلْفَهَا وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So that it can serve as an eye-opener for the people until the day of Qiyamah. Look at the disgrace of today and think of the disgrace of tomorrow and let people understand, wallah, if we sit and ponder and contemplate, if one case of this nature comes before insan and this order of Allah will prevail and is established, after that which young boy and which young girl will take the guts and the courage of violating the order of Allah and making zina? Whatever we are seeing today is because of neglecting and deviating from the orders of Allah. It is because of the absence of the ta'lim of Quran and Hadith that today we are living in such a polluted environment that a person actually sees that person who comes and does evil to his daughter, yet he's living in an environment that he doesn't do anything. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the words of Muslim, three people will never go to Jannat. Ad-dayyuth. Who is ad-dayyuth? Alladhi yadkhulu ala ahlihi ar-rijal. That person whose wife entertains strange men. Amen. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. May He protect us from the evil act of zina. May Allah purify our environment. May Allah give us the teachings. May Allah give us the ability of implementing the noble teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he mentions, لَأَنْ يُطْعَنَ فِي رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ بِمَخِيطٍ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمُسَّ إِمْرَأَةً لَا تَخِلُّ لَهُ. O my Sahaba, it is better for you that a steel nail be driven into your head than you touch the hand of a strange woman. My respected brothers out there in the outside world, many a times we are confronted in such an environment. Allah protect me also, Allah protect you. It was the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِيهَا فَيَنْدُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ. Allah is going to put you in this dunya and Allah is going to test you. Keep yourself away from the temptations of the dunya and the temptations of women. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from zina, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of implementing the injunctions of the Quran and repenting to Almighty Allah, and may He inspire our hearts with the noor of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة، والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك، وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم ثمانين جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا، وأولئك هم الفاسقون. إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. We discussed in the previous lesson the penalty and the punishment for the person that commits zina, the adulterer or the adulteress. This hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this order of Allah ta'ala that is to make rajam, that is to pelt to death, this is the order of Allah not only in the Quran, but it is the order of Allah that was in the Torah and in the Injil, in the divine scriptures. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident of zina took place amongst the Yahud, and they found this order of Allah very difficult. So they thought, let us come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking that perhaps the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have an easier way out, which Allah ta'ala mentions in the sixth juz of the Quran. وَكَيْفَ يُحَكِّمُونَكَ وَعِنْدَهُمُ التَّوْرَاةُ فِيهَا حُكْمُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the light of Quran, explained to them which was the order of Allah, which was in 100% accordance to the hukam of Allah Ta'ala that was in the Torah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned on that occasion, Allahumma inni awwalu man ahya amraka. Oh Allah, I am the first person that established your order, that established your order after these people neglected it. In other words, they were looking for avenues because they found this order of Allah Ta'ala to be very difficult, that how can we pel this person to death? They found it very difficult, so they were looking for ways out. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom this Quran was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the teachings of the Quran, which was in accordance to the teachings of the Zabur, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that this person will be pelted to death. And as I mentioned, that there are four types of hudud, which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said regarding this rajam, that inna la najidu min ar-rajmi buddan, there is no escape from this rajam. Whoever will commit this crime, and with substantial proof, when it is found that this person is guilty of that crime, then according to the Islamic law of these four hudud, this person, either his hands will be cut or he will be pelted. One incident comes to mind. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman by the name of Fatima Makhzumiya, who belonged to that tribe, she was a woman of rank and status, and she stole something. So the Sahaba Ikram and the people of that time found it difficult that for this woman's hand to be cut. She is a woman of status, and if her hands will be cut, it will really be an embarrassment for her. So they decided, let us ask someone to intercede on behalf of her to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi of Allah, excuse this woman. We know it is the order of Allah Ta'ala that the hand should be cut off, but this woman is a woman of status and rank, and it will be really embarrassing if her hand will be cut off. So Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Shibbu Rasulillah, the beloved of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was chosen for the task to intercede on behalf of this woman. When he came before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reclining, and when he heard this intercession of the Sahabi, he got up at once and he said, Atashfa'u fi haddim min hududillah? Oh my Sahabi, do you want me to compromise in one order of Allah, in one had from the hudud of Allah? How can the deen of Allah ever be flexible? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ Then to make the Sahabi understand and to make the entire Ummah understand till the day of Qiyamah, what is the status of the order of Allah and how should a Muslim conduct himself when it comes to the orders of Allah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explained and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ اُزَّاد ki قسم جو نفس محمد کا مالک ہے I take the oath of that being in whose control is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, I take the oath of Allah ta'ala. If my daughter Fatima, لو كانت فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت, if my daughter Fatima has to steal, لقطعت يدها, I will cut her hands. So that the world can see at large, the order of Allah will prevail even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the Nabi of Allah. There is no compromise when it comes to the deen of Almighty Allah. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses the penalty, and as I mentioned, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ That a group of believers should witness this. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that one of the possibilities or one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala has made it such that this sin should, the penalty of the sin should be witnessed by a group of Muslims. One is so that they can see the consequences of the violation of the orders of Allah. And at the same time, this should bring mercy into their hearts and they should make dua maghfirat for their brother and their sister. Not to criticize them and to run them down, but to see their disgrace and make dua to Allah. Allah must protect them from the disgrace of akhirat and Allah Ta'ala must forgive them and pardon their sins. This is the reason why Allah Ta'ala has made it such that when this penalty will be exercised on this adulterer or this adulteress, then it should be witnessed by a group of people. Sahib Jalalain Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, it doesn't have to be a large group of people, even if it is 5 to 10 people, it will suffice. The idea is that the people should pay heed and the lesson should be extracted that in future one should not take the courage of disobeying Almighty Allah. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses a different aspect also relating to zina. Allah Ta'ala mentions, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. There are many tafasir to this particular verse, but inshallah we will highlight the easiest one. Allah Ta'ala mentions an adulterer will only get married to an adulteress or an idolater. We are not speaking here of the permissibility of the nikah of an adulterer to an adulteress. We are speaking of a general condition. Generally speaking, that person who is involved in an act of zina and fornication, who does this act of zina, who is an adulterer, if he has to get married, he will look towards a woman who comes from the very same environment, because al-jinsu yamilu ila al-jins. Whatever environment you live in, you desire to see a very same person. And when a person looks for a partner, he looks for someone with his likes and his dislikes. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, Az-Zani, that person, an adulterer, he will only get married to an adulteress. And nikah will not be his object. His object is zina, that is to fulfill his passion and desire. Because if he gets married, then marriage will make him paven. He has to support a wife, he has to support children. And now he'll be restricted to one woman which he dislikes. So nikah is not his object. His object is passion and desire. But many a times, if he'll want to satisfy his passion with a particular woman, she is only ready to satisfy him if they come to an understanding of nikah. And that also, maybe that particular woman is coming to the agreement of nikah because of pressure that is coming on her from her family that it is time you get married. So the object is not nikah. The object is to fulfill the passion and desire. Oh, mushrika. And because his object is to fulfill his passion, he will not differentiate between the believer and the disbeliever, between the believer and the idolater, so long as he can fulfill his passion. If it means it is an adulteress and his object can be fulfilled, he will go and he will have an inclination towards her. And if it means it's a mushrika, an idolater, then too he will perform nikah. Although this nikah is kal adam, as though this nikah is not performed because it is batil, and it is still as zina. Just as he was making zina, he was having ta'alluq with a woman prior to nikah, to have after nikah with a mushrika, with an idolater, that nikah does not exist in the eyes of Islam and in Shariat. So this is equal to zina as well. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that person whose desire and whose object, whose goal is zina and fornication, Nikah is something that he will dread, and nikah is something that he will dislike, because after nikah, a person is restricted to one woman, and because his priorities are upside down, so he won't able to see the beauty of nikah, where a person has one wife, and he satisfies his desires with this partner, and she satisfies her desires with her husband, and then Allah Ta'ala blesses them with pious offspring, and this muhabbat, and this unity, and this love, and this family life that Allah Ta'ala has made for insan, which insan needs in this life, because he had destroyed his nature, so he cannot see the beauty of this, and he only sees his object, and that is zina. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the second juz of the Quran, which I think is of paramount importance for me to highlight on this occasion. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ وَلَأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة بإذنه. Allah says, do not perform your nikah with the idolaters, with the mushrikat, until they bring iman. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ, that Muslim girl is better than that mushrik girl, even if she be more attractive. Even if this mushrik girl has more physical beauty, and she is more attractive, and she is more wealthy, then to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, this Muslim girl that perhaps lacks beauty and lacks wealth, then to, if you have to weigh the options, then give priority to this Muslim girl. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ, she will take you towards Jahannam, and Allah is inviting you towards Jannat. And the actual beauty is spiritual beauty. Physical beauty is very temporary and it is limited. In fact, it is not only limited to this dunya. A person that has beauty in his young days, many a times we see in old age, that particular girl, she loses her beauty when she starts aging and wrinkles come on the face. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran, لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا, that when a person becomes old, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ, we repeat childhood, and just like this person had beauty perhaps when she was young or he was young, after they start aging, they lose their sight, they lose all their faculties, and they lose all their beauty. So the actual beauty is not the physical beauty. I am not saying that on the occasion of nikah, one should not look at physical beauty. No, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that prior to nikah, when a person wants to get married, then he should look at the quality that invites him in that woman, so that after nikah, it doesn't lead to any problems. So we are not saying we should ignore physical beauty. But Nabi Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that if there is a mushrik, that is a disbeliever, and she has beauty, and on the other hand there is a believer and she lacks beauty, and you have to make a choice between the two, then you have to choose the believer, because she has iman, and spiritual beauty is that beauty that shines at every moment. When that girl was small and she was pious, people used to speak about her piety. When she was a teenager and she was pious, that beauty was still shining out of her. And when she grew up and she became an elderly woman and she lost all physical beauty, but she used to make tahajjud and she used to fast, then two people used to speak about this beauty of hers, and that beauty was sparkling till her last day, and it will sparkle in the qabr, and wallah, it will sparkle on the day of qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. And this spiritual light that she had in this dunya will give her a physical light on the day of qiyamah, and each believer and every mu'min and mu'minah will move in her light, and the munafiqeen will tell them, unzuruna, look towards us, naqtabis min nurikum, we also want to derive some of your light, we have absolutely no light. These very same munafiqeen who in this dunya had physical beauty, this kuffar who had physical beauty, but because of the lack of spiritual beauty, there's nothing but darkness. Likewise Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ, that Muslim boy who lacks beauty is better than that mushrik boy, that mushrik male who possesses beauty. Why? Because he has spiritual beauty. So the actual quality, the actual thing is iman. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that that person who is involved in zina, he will only take a liking and he will have an inclination towards the one that is involved in zina. Likewise, وَالزَّانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِحُهَا إِلَّا زَانٍ أَوْ مُشْرِكٍ, and an adulteress, only he will get married to her who is an adulterer or a mushrik. In other words, that woman that is involved in zina and fornication, that Muslim male who wants to get married and who fears Allah and who has feared Allah and who has protected his limbs from haram, who has guarded his eyes from looking at haram, who has guarded and protected every limb and organ of his body from haram or from a strange woman, when he is going to choose a woman, he is not going to choose an adulteress because he protected Allah. He wants a girl that also protected Allah. Perhaps we find that it happens, it is just but correct and it is logic. A person who fears Almighty Allah, he is going to look for a girl that fears Allah. Maybe that girl has not committed zina, but then too she has been exposed to strange men. She has been exposed to an environment where it was a common practice with her to speak to strange men, to entertain strange men. So this person whose fitrat is preserved, who has preserved his nature, he is not going to take a liking to this girl. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالزَّانِيَةُ and that adulteress, only he will get married to her, who is an adulterer or a mushrik, as I mentioned earlier on. Now the point that I want to explain here, what the commentators have mentioned, here we are not speaking of the permissibility of nikah. If an adulterer wants to get married to an adulteress, and they repent, and they want to make a proper family life, and they turn to Allah, and the nikah is performed, then this nikah is absolutely correct. This is the fatwa of the Jumhur, the majority of the ulama, and the very same fatwa of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is the father of tafsir, is quoted in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. So here Allah Ta'ala is not mentioning the masla of sihhat nikah and adam sihhat, of it being correct and accepted. Here Allah Ta'ala is mentioning a general condition that this is what will happen. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, what is the condition of the genuine believers? وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And this is forbidden for the believers. There are many tafsir request your undivided attention to understand this ayat correctly. وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَكْوِينِ طَارْفَرْ Allah Ta'ala will make it such that that person who fears Allah Ta'ala, he will not have an inclination towards an adulteress. And that woman that fears Allah, she will not have an inclination towards an adulterer. This is one tafsir that this is forbidden. Not forbidden in the Shariat point of view, but Allah Ta'ala has made it such that this person's heart will not turn in that direction. The other tafsir, وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ أَيْ وَحُرِّمَ الزِّنَى That zina is forbidden, which is confirmed with a lot of nusus, that zina is completely forbidden and it is haram for all the believers. Or, وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ It is haram for a Muslim male to get married to a female mushrik, or for a female Muslim to get married to a male mushrik, that is also haram. Or the ulama have written, وَحُرِّمَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ It is haram that if a zani, that is an adulterer, gets married to an adulteress, this nikah, from the aspect of nikah, will be correct. But if both of them continue this act of zina, then this act of this will be incorrect, although the nikah will be correct. We are not promoting the nikah of an adulterer with an adulteress, we are discussing the mas'ala, it will be correct. But if they will continue this act of zina, it will be totally incorrect and it will be haram. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in these two ayat kareema discusses that the environment in which a person will live, he will desire the very same environment in his partner and in his house. That is why we are taught by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَزَوَّجُوا فِي الْحِجْرِ الصَّالِحِ فَإِنَّ الْعِرْقَ دَسَّاسِ Get married in a pious family because family habits will penetrate into your children. Now many a times the children say, but Maulana, my mother doesn't want to understand that my future, she decides or she will accept Islam. Now Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in the hadith, it is not only the habits of that girl that is going to penetrate into our children, it is the habits of that family that is going to penetrate. That is why we are taught to get married into a pious family. A girl who grew up in piety, who grew up in a pious environment, in a house where there was tilawat, where there was zikrullah, where there was amal and there was an environment of iman, so that inshallah the very same piety will rub off into the new generation that is to come. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses a different aspect also relating to what we are discussing here. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ Those males who accuse those innocent women, muhsanat, Sahib al-Jalalain has written, who refers to an innocent, who is meant by an innocent woman? That woman who is aqil, she is intelligent, she is baligh, she is matured, she is hur, that is, she is free, she is not a slave, she is a Muslim, and she was never caught guilty of the act of zina. These are the five qualities that are required in a woman for her to be rendered muhsan, a muhsanat, that is, innocent. So those people who accuse any innocent woman, who I explained what is meant by innocent, who accuse any innocent woman of the evil act of zina. In other words, they prove her guilty of zina, whereas she is innocent of the zina. ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء. And then they cannot give sufficient and substantial proof to prove that what I am saying against this woman is a reality. That I am accusing her with zina, this is my three proofs. Now we must understand, very important, that because this punishment of zina is very severe, that is, a person will either be pelted or he will be lashed. That is why before the actual crime will be confirmed, every type of precaution will be taken into consideration before this can be confirmed, because it is really a severe crime. And once the crime has been confirmed, that is, a person has been found guilty, or a person acknowledges it himself, or the situation arises as such where a girl that is not married is found pregnant, where such evidence, sources and proof is found, after it has been confirmed, then even if this adulterer or adulteress makes tawbah, then too the punishment that is in the dunya, the dunyawi punishment will still be carried out. He or she will be pelted to death. The tawbah of his or the tawbah of her will protect her from the azab of the akhirat. This tawbah of hers will not protect her or him from the punishment of this dunya after it has been confirmed with substantial proof. So the Quran mentions, those people, my sisters out there, give me 1 second of yours. Let us understand, our izzat is what Islam gives us as izzat. Our zillat is what Islam refers to as zillat. Fatima radiallahu anha was asked, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَىٰ O Nabi of Allah, what is best for women? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Fatima, what is best for women? Fatima radiallahu anha said, لَا يَرِينَ الرِّجَالُ وَلَا يَرَوْنَهُنَّ O Nabi of Allah, the best thing for woman is that her sight must not fall on any strange man. And the best thing for her is that no strange person's sight must fall on her. That is our izzat. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَىٰ وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ There are 3 stages of parda. One stage is where a woman, the highest level, where a woman keeps herself indoors. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَقْرَبُ مَا تَكُونُ مِنْ وَجْهِ رَبِّهَا وَهِيَ فِي قَعْرِ بَيْتِهَا The closest a woman is to her Allah is when she is in the confines of a house. The second stage of parda is when a woman covers her face, covers her hands, and she comes outside for a need. This is the second stage of parda. And the third is when a woman exposes her hands and her face and her feet, and she comes out and in an instance where there isn't the fear of fitna. This is the third stage of parda. Revealing of any other organs besides what I discuss will no longer be categorized as any form of parda. In fact, it will be the absence of haya and modesty. So Allah Ta'ala, look at the izzat that Allah mentions. Anyone that will attack any of our sisters, any of our mothers, and accuse them of zina, and then he does not have substantial proof, then what does Allah say regarding that person? فَجَلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا O Nabi of Allah, lash him 80 lashes. And that's not all. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا And reject his evidence lifelong. Whenever he gives any proof and any evidence, don't accept it. When it comes to the sighting of the moon or any other occasion, when witnesses are required, if this person who has accused a woman, if he comes and gives witness, then the evil, the consequences of accusing that woman will be such that lifelong his evidence and his witness will not be accepted. Because if he can attack the izzat of one woman and he can speak a lie, then we don't know, perhaps he will be speaking a lie about the sighting of the moon or any other thing for that nature. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ And that's not all. The punishment of the akhirat is separate. Now 2-3 things we have to mention here regarding this ayah. Allah Ta'ala mentions those males who accuse those women. Allah Ta'ala has used the term male for woman because this ayat-e kareema was revealed when an incident happened that a male accused a woman. Otherwise, with reference to Tafsir-e Jassas and with reference to the books of Fiqh, it is written in detail in Hidayah, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has given the hawala there, that if a male accuses a male, or a female accuses a female, or a female accuses a male, in any of these 4 situations, the very same penalty will be exercised of 80 lashes. But this accusation will be limited to accusing someone with zina. If someone accuses his brother or his sister with something else, then according to the ta'zirat, as I mentioned, the qazi, whatever he feels munasib, he will decide. But this 80 lashes is only exclusively reserved when someone accuses his brother or his sister with the evil act of zina. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ Now when someone accuses someone of zina, as I mentioned, all the precautions will be taken. One person can only give evidence of zina, that someone is guilty of zina, when he has witnessed it with the naked eye and he has three other proof that have also witnessed it. Now we must understand, Islam does not teach us, understand this very clearly, Islam does not teach us that if someone is found guilty, we must go and investigate the matter and we must promote the matter. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اِدْرَأُ الْحُدُودَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If you know or you doubt in someone, go to him in the quiet and tell him to make tawbah. And it does not mean that because an adulterer and adulteress will only be pelted after four witnesses are found, and such four witnesses that witness the evil act. So this is something that is very difficult, because they will do the act of zina privately. So this does not mean for a moment that in Islam, if a person commits zina, then no one will actually be there to witness it. So this person will be free of this of the punishment of the dunya, and no one will actually be able to report it. Because if you report the crime, understand this, respected listeners, if you report the crime that so and so has made zina with this girl, or she has, these two were making ta'alluq and they had zina, and you do not have three other proof with you, then even if she had committed the zina, then too you will be given 80 lashes of accusation. Now if she had committed the crime, then that will be, she will be responsible between herself and Allah. But if you do not have four proofs, then it is not correct for you to go and give the witness of zina. The most you can do is that you can say that I seen them having unlawful relation, perhaps they were talking, perhaps they were doing many other things that is part of that very same category which a strange person should not be doing with a strange girl. So in such an occasion, four witnesses will not be required. If you report the fact that this boy was speaking to this girl and they have absolutely no ta'alluq, there are no family ties in between, then in an event like this, the qazi will summon them and an investigation will be made, and according to that, whatever he decides, he will punish them. But in such an event, such an instance, four witnesses will not be required. So if a person does not have substantial proof, then he should not report by saying zina. He should say that they were having unlawful relations. Now it can refer to perhaps just speaking or whatever the case may be. And if a person seen it also, we are not encouraged to promote it. We are encouraged to go to our brother and tell him, repent to Allah, ask Allah to forgive you. The idea is not to pelt him, and the idea is not to punish him. The idea is to make him abstain from the disobedience of Allah. And this will be achieved via this penalty. That is why Allah Pak has prescribed the penalty. Otherwise, hitting and lashing, that is not the object of disobeying Almighty Allah. That is not the object of this crime. The idea of being lashed is so that it can serve as an eye-opener for others. فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. And do not accept their evidence forever and ever. This is according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The evidence will not be accepted lifelong, because this is part of the penalty of accusing. Yes, after tawbah, he will no longer remain a fasiq, but his evidence will not be accepted. My sisters, my mothers, my daughters, we are searching. We are searching for honor. We are searching for izzat. Let us see the izzat that Islam has given us. If someone attacks our izzat and he proves us guilty of something that we are free of, then Allah Pak's gharat comes into action. And Allah Ta'ala says that it is my order that you will not accept the evidence of this person till the day he dies. This is the crime of that person who accuses any servant of mine, any bandi of mine of zina, and she has not committed it. This is the consequences. Of course, according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, such a person's evidence will be accepted after tawbah. Another thing that I want to mention here is, when a person commits zina and it is confirmed, then immediately he would be lashed or he will be pelted. But when a person, for example, if someone accuses me with zina and I am innocent of the act of zina, then the person, the qadhib who has accused me, will only be given 80 lashes if I demand that this right that Allah has given me, because this is haqqul abd, this is the rights of a servant. Only if I say that this 80 lashes must be given to that person, then only he will be lashed. This is the rights that Allah has given to the person who has been accused. Contrary to the instance of nikah, zina, because zina is the order of Allah and it is the haqq of Allah. So once it has been confirmed, whether if it was my daughter and I say never mind or I agree, then too he will be pelted, because this is not the order, this is not the right of that woman. It is partly her right, but this is actually the right of Allah, and Allah has made it forbidden. But by him accusing me, this is my right. So he will only be lashed if I say he must be lashed. And if I say that he must not be lashed, then I forgive him and I pardon him, then he will not be given the 80 lashes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا. But those people who repent, who make tawbah to Almighty Allah and reform their condition, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us, right till a person leaves this dunya, there is hope to repent. It is the month of Ramadan, let us take advantage of this opportunity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel Amin curses that person that does not have his sins forgiven in this month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ameen. So that person who accuses someone also, if he repents to Allah Ta'ala, he asks that particular person ma'afi, and then he asks Allah also ma'afi, then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is most forgiving and Allah is most merciful. But as I mentioned, his witness will not be accepted. His evidence and his gawahi will not be accepted, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says it will be accepted. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He protect us from the act of zina. And Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq not to attack the izzat of anyone. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If an irreligious person brings some message to you, then the fact that he is fasiq and is irreligious, how can you take his word for granted? فَتَبَيَّنُوا, make inquiries. And Allah Pak has not made us responsible to search for the faults of our Muslim brothers. لَا تَجَسَّزُوا, do not search for the faults of your Muslim brothers. Instead, conceal it. Give him the dawah that Allah, give him the dawah to repent to Allah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq not to attack the izzat of anyone. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us from the evil act of zina and protect our environment and keep our environment pure and clean. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.